But you've got to go on.
Slag off.
You've changed, man. It used to be about the music.
I said slag off.
March 1989, Brian De Palma is announced as the director of the most important movie to have ever been about to have been made, The Bonfire of the Vanities. Maybe everybody will stop saying definitely time for Wapner as Rain Man wins Best Picture at the Oscars. Yeah, they're definitely gonna do that. You got into a fight with a kid at the seat catty-cornered to you on the bus because he said the band who performs the number one hit single, The Living Years, is called Mike Plus the Mechanics, and that's just absurd. You know that isn't true. And why doesn't anyone talk about that on the radio if that's true? And also, this guy keeps saying he sits kitty corner from you and not catty corner, so maybe this is one of those cases where you will soon fall in love and they'll make a movie about you called Riding in Buses with Boys or something like that. He also won't shut up about how Webster ended up getting transported to Star Trek at the end of his show and how that proved something called a multiverse. But you don't care about any of that because you've spent some time thinking about role models. People who you should look up to, instead of looking back at the dad who might not have been the role model the young you needed. Everybody says their mom is a role model, but when you asked your mom if she considers herself to be your role model, she said, "Why, what did you find out?" So here you are feeling a little unmoored. Spring break is coming up, so maybe it's time to put on your bathing suit and pose in front of the closet mirror for an hour or two to practice looking supernatural with your legs exposed to your hip. Gosh, you wish Mom would let you start shaving. Is this what ankles are supposed to look like? I bet Christina Applegate never hates her knees. This is when you remember you've been saving something for a day when you feel as grotty as a slag. You plop down on your pile of unfolded clothes and decide to find your personal inspiration in the pop culture breakdown of your favorite magazine. Yes, it's time to...
Listen to Sassy!
It's catty corner, right?
Kitty corner.
Oh. Ooh,
and it begins divorce.
Maybe it's regional. I think both are fine.
Diagonally opposite was formed from a misspelling in English of the French word quatre, prefixed to corner. In various dialects, all three spellings are acceptable. Catty, kitty, or cater. Cater corner.
No, I don't
cater
like that.
Corner.
No. Yeah. I mean, this is something we're definitely going to get calls about. 720 Sassy Go.
I'm very excited.
Speaking of our beloved listeners, if you are a member of the Listen to Sassy Club, you can join us this Saturday, January 29th, 2022. If you're listening to this in the future, sorry, you missed it. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, we're going to be doing our latest watch along for Mystic Pizza. It was our...
Gonna have a bite of that Mystic Pizza. That's right. Is that the song from Mystic Pizza?
Yeah. It finished second in our poll for December. So we decided to throw it back in the mix and it came in first. So we're going to be doing that from now on. Second place gets a second chance the next month.
Why is this pizza foretelling my future? Mystic Pizza. Gonna have a whole slice of Mystic Pizza.
Why do you think it's called Mystic Pizza, Dave?
Because Merlin is involved, I'm hoping, Starlog Jam.
Well, you're going to find out.
Like The Natural, this is one of those unassuming Arthurian legend movies.
Maybe. You can find all of that at listentosassy.com/club. And once again, Saturday, January 29th, 8 p.m. Eastern for Mystic Pizza with all of us. We hope to see you there.
I don't think I've seen this before, so that's exciting.
That's crazy.
I do know why it's called Mystic Pizza, but I don't think I've seen this movie before.
Just before you eat it, it starts levitating off the table. Gonna have a slice of that floating pizza, Mystic Pizza.
No spoilers, but I look forward to getting a lot of insight from Pam about how accurate they were in their Connecticut representation.
What if Dave never stopped singing through the entire watch-along, though?
That could happen.
This seems like a real possibility.
Elizabeth Mosier, who's the name I'm never sure I'm saying correctly, our favorite short story writer in Sassy's history so far, thus far, mentioned us on her Instagram. We'd like to thank you for doing that. She said she's been having fun hearing her stories dissected, lovingly dissected here at Listen to Sassy. And then I shamelessly wrote, "You are the goat," and she liked it. And so that's the nice thing that happened to me today.
So you can follow her on Instagram. She's emosier1984. I'm sure we linked to her when we talked about either or both of her stories in the past. We also got a tweet.
Wait, she was only 4 years old when she wrote Wheels?
Yeah. She's really talented.
Holy cow.
So
talent.
Good.
Talent, a singular talent in Sassy Magazine.
We did also get a tweet this week from Marjorie Engel.
Is that the blind one?
No,
she wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
No, she will be a staff writer.
If you get both of those references, I'm impressed. If you, what I mean is, if you get both of them, you're from two different worlds and you got both of those references. Congratulations. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she just said she's waiting for 1992 because that's when she started in the magazine. She's anxious for us to start talking about her era. And Margie, if you're listening, we will get to you soon/in 3 years. So sit tight. About what now for March 1989, starting with the only 90 degrees turned story. Dear residents of Portland, Maine, this is a follow-up from the recent on the road trip to Portland, Maine, because apparently people have been going to Judd Nelson's parents' house, throwing eggs at it, ringing the doorbell, then running away, redecorating the lawn with toilet paper, spray painting obscene comments directed at the young Judd. Intense.
The Breakfast Club was overrated. For more information, please see. Oh, no, I read out the spray.
Yeah. And so Christina writes, if you are one of these oh so mature souls, Judd wants you to cut it out. I could see if you showed where I live, says the New York City resident. Why don't just dox him too? But my parents aren't even on TV or in movies. They don't ask for this. True, but also, it's kind of on you for publishing a photo of their house and saying that that's who lives there, which we didn't. I feel like we didn't talk about that at the time, and we probably could have because that really is quite out of bounds.
Frankly, I think this is probably the most exciting thing that's ever happened in Portland, Maine. So I think they should be thankful for the coverage Sassy has given them, even if it means one house is perpetually covered in human feces. And I assume to this day.
Next, we're in Jeopardy, baby. Sassy is celebrating because they were a question on Jeopardy. The answer was, as savvy as to working women, Sassy is to this group. The question, and someone got it right, was, what are teenagers? And I can report, Television Without Pity, a website that Dave and I started and that Pam wrote for with our friend Sarah D. Bunting, was also one of the founders. We were an answer on Jeopardy last year. It was very gratifying. So I can understand why they made a whole item about it, because it's pretty cool.
But very fittingly, nobody knew the answer.
That's right. No one got it.
That's right.
Kind of like Sassy, but in a much smaller scale. It was very important to a certain segment of the population.
Yes.
And nobody outside that very narrow definition knew the what the hell that was. So I found it quite apropos.
Yes. The difference here is that they were talking about a magazine that still exists, whereas mm-hmm. Television Without Pity, by the time it was on Jeopardy, had been deceased for like 7 years.
Yeah, when they tell our tale, it's now in sepia tone, for sure.
The sound of a film strip projector still starts up. Rude.
It's rude. Yeah, absolutely.
It would be the sound of a VHS tape getting ejected and popped back in.
You're right. Yep. It would.
I learned which of my friends were hardcore Jeopardy fans when Moana was an answer a couple of years back. Mm-hmm. Just people sending me screenshots and shouting, just all caps, "Look what Amy saw!"
That could be anything.
Yeah, but I liked it. It was fun. Sydney Poitier passed away very recently, and I was surprised to have no less than 5 people reach out and say, "I thought first of you," because I met him once when he came to the studio during Moana and got a tour, mm-hmm. and we wide-eyed came out and took pictures with him. And he said to me, "It's very nice to meet you, young lady."
Wow.
You have to stay for the young lady. Stay for the young lady, Tara. But anyway, it was great. And we have a picture, and I cut everybody else out of the picture. And it was just the two of us on the mug that I gave my mother.
Aw. Well, a similar thing happened to me, although it was not as sweet, when Betty White died recently, because I got a mm-hmm. lot of tweets that many people thought of me first, because I have been carrying on a campaign against her, may she rest in peace, her rapping granny phase of her career, which I was just a little sick of. Had nothing to do with her. She's a wonderful lady. I do want her to rest in peace. She did a lot of good, and she was very talented, but, like, trotting her out as an old lady punchline was what I objected to. Mm-hmm. And I think people were like, well, you're glad she's in her grave now. And I was like, in a sense, but, you know, didn't actually wish her dead. Also, she was about to be 100, everybody. Shouldn't have been a huge shock.
I'm sorry that people felt the need to process their grief through a small anger in your direction. I understand why they did it. They were mad. Mm-hmm. They were sad. They didn't know what else to do. But they were like, you know what? Fuck Tara today. Jason Gedrick's in a movie that we don't know about. It's called Rooftops. And Jamie Gertz is in it, right? Is that who that is next to him?
Is it? I thought it was Ray Don Chong. Let me look it up.
Oh.
It's Troy Bears, right in the caption.
Oh. It is in the copy, but I just didn't even see that name because who's Troy Bear? Ex-Dynasty star.
She makes aspirin.
It says they play what are called throwaways. You guys know, teenagers without homes, living on rooftops in Manhattan. Then they say they're very sorry that this movie that Jason was in, Promised Land, didn't do as well as it should have. But you might remember him from Iron Eagle. And it says, Rooftops deals with a subject that I am obsessed with, homeless teenagers. I can't.
It's a weird way to put it.
I'm like obsessed with homeless teenagers right now. You know, like throwaways, like the ones who have like really good views in Manhattan. Like I'm like obsessed with them at the moment.
They're so hot right now.
So anyway, Jason Gedrick plays one and he dresses the whole time like he's about to dance in a barn in Footloose. Yeah. And I love it.
Rooftops is on Peacock if you want to watch it. And perhaps we will watch it in a future watch along. Put it on the list.
I doubt it.
Surfing without water, just what the world needs. I think this whole thing is supposed to be sarcastic. But if you read it like you care, just what the world needs, a video game that simulates surfing. And then it even says right, but they just mean the picture is right. But
yes.
Go ahead. Right? Now, here's how to play. You watch the wave on the video screen, stand on the pivoted surfboard, and maneuver as if you were riding a real wave, sort of. If you wipe out, the surf simulator, invented by a 26-year-old computer nerd/surfer, rags on you by blasting the classic 60s surf song Wipeout. All this for a mere $1,495 or 25 cents if you live near an arcade that has the game. No way, that's like a $1 or a $2 game.
For sure.
Are you stoked or what? I have been on this contraption at the MTV Museum of Unnatural History. And there is video of my sister and I surfing to Wipeout.
You Too Loves These Guys is the headline for this tiny item that was about Christina interviewing an Australian band called the Go-Betweens. Obviously not worth turning into an entire story because she got owned real hard when she went to do this. During my chat with Grant McLennan and Robert Forster, not the actor presumably, who both play guitar and sing, I innocently noted that there was a serious U2 influence on one of the songs. And there was a short yet uncomfortable silence before Grant responded, actually, we influenced them and were one of U2's favorite bands. So interviews are hard, but do your research because this is embarrassing. Like, you could have probably known this if you just looked up, like, whose album came out first. And I grant that it's harder to do that in 1989 than it is today. But still, this is embarrassing. And I kind of wonder why they printed it because it doesn't make her look good. It makes her look unprepared.
This guy looks like if Iggy Pop got his shit together.
Uh-huh.
That's what this guy looks like. Not the actor, but he looks like Iggy Snap, Crackle, and Pop, I guess, or something.
Hmm.
Boo.
Everybody's talking about sassy glossary definition number 12, slag. This is a noun, someone who's rather liberal, sexually speaking, a sleaze, trollop, or tramp. Usage: the person my ex-boyfriend's dating is a total slag. We at Sassy do not condone using slag or anything. We're just defining it. So if anyone calls you a slag, you'll know what they mean. A public service, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So sassy.
More girl-on-girl crime.
I didn't say slag. In fact, this copy at the beginning is the first time I've said the word slag. But I like it. Is that okay?
What are you, in what context are you going to use it?
I think I'm going to use it about like myself. Like today I'm going full slag.
I see.
And, I mean, do people still say trollop or tramp? All of these words aren't things. So I suppose I mean it in a retro fashion-y way. Like, I just want some, like, slaggy tights and, like, yes, it's when I want to be British. Okay. I just want to slag around with, like, cigarettes and
wine. When you take off your pants, you're a slut. When you take off your knickers, you're a slag.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes, I'm like an ab fab slag. You know what I mean? Like, when you just want to be, like, because she's thin, sweetie. I'm still asking, is it okay to say slag in any context? So
probably not.
If you're a minor, mm-hmm. yes. I mean, who digs rocks? Mm-hmm. Yes, not underage. Mm-hmm.
I was in a different place.
Yeah,
dude.
I know.
Sorry.
I could tell by your eyes. I could tell by the expression. As far as like where we were, we're definitely catty corner.
I think we're kitty corner, but that's okay.
I don't know about that.
March 12th would have been Jack Kerouac's 67th birthday if he had not drunk himself to death in 1969.
Oops.
And Christina adds, just editorially, let me say that if one more person writes a song in homage to Jack or aspires to his lifestyle, I'm going to make kitty litter with my copy of On the Road. Hey, here's a good start. Throw your copy of On the Road in the trash because it's terrible. Jack Kerouac is unbearable, and that book is unreadable. I was assigned it in college, and I hated every fucking second of it. I don't always agree with Christina. She is 100% right about this one. Fuck that guy. Fuck that book.
Did Dave have an on-the-road phase?
I've never read one word of Jack Kerouac. I'm trying to remember who he is. Is he the beatnik?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's all I know. I wasn't sure if I was supposed to snap when you told him everybody he died, if that would be inappropriate or not. I know your snapping's involved, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing is very pretentious. I feel like Jack Kerouac is of some period in time as wearing a Misfits t-shirt was to the 2000s, which is you'd never listen to one fucking note of the Misfits, have you, person?
Yes.
It's just a fashion statement. I feel like Jack Kerouac was that to most people.
I think that's true.
Toss it on your bed and just look like you have read On the Road. Because it's also every other grande? Holy fucking shit. Every other grande?
Yeah. Thank you. I don't know why that's funny, but
I don't get it.
Ariana Grande.
Oh.
It's every other grande. That's who Dave listens to. Not Ariana, but every other grande.
Every other grande.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the anti-fan club. It's called Every Other Grande.
Yeah, I'll take any other grande.
I order a frappuccino from Starbucks. I put it on the table, put my ear up to it. I'd rather do that for a whole day than listen to this horseshit. Now, ask me to name one Ariana Grande song. Can't do it.
Mm. No. It's actually, she does a lot of songs about Jack Kerouac.
Yeah, I know.
Every other one to watch in Sassy so far has definitely said Kerouac.
For sure, yes.
It was important.
Definitely.
Watch it.
Watch.
Watch it.
Watch it. As we learned in our intro, Rain Man has just won the Oscar for Best Picture, which is why they're finally getting around to reviewing it. Man, print deadlines are a bitch but even so, this movie came out in December of 1988. It would be reasonable for it to be in the February issue, if anywhere. This is quite late to be reviewing Rain Man. And in addition to that, the person they get to review it is fucking Neil.
That's perhaps why it's late.
I'm sure that's true. Good point. But Neil writes, I hadn't heard anything about this movie except who was in it. Really, Neil? Because in addition to, I mean, the Oscars hadn't happened by the time he was writing this review, but it would have been nominated. And in addition to that, one of the earliest It Happened to Me columns was about someone living in the house where they shot some of the fucking movie. Like, read the magazine. Know anything. Why did you get assigned this if you didn't know anything about it going in? Ugh. Anyway, he also writes, Dustin Hoffman's performance, quote, seems 100% authentic. Oh, okay. Based on what? He could just say you liked it without speculating about how people who have this condition behave. Also, Dustin Hoffman dead. Career. That's all I have to say about Rain Man. It's on Netflix.
Mary Kay reviews Beaches this month. Beaches is a movie I feel like I have not seen, but I have definitely seen the first 10 minutes of 3,212 times. I don't know what made us have to see it over and over again. I guess there was a video for Under the Boardwalk or something. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is how I learned about the Hollywood Bowl. I can't go to the Hollywood Bowl without being like, oh, this is where they film the beaches, which is the stupidest thought. It's just the stupidest thought.
Is it? Here's my with beaches, which is beaches. Wait, is that the movie or is that the resort destination package? Sandals. Is Sandals the movie? Beaches, Sandals, Beaches, Sandals.
Every time you think that Sandals.
Every time I have to sit back and think about which one is the movie and which one is the resort package, people, Sandals or Beaches.
How many times per month does this come up in your life?
Probably like per month, like 0.05.
Wow, that's a lot. I know what it's about. I know it gets sad. I know Barbara Hershey cries in it a lot. And I think she's the one who does. But I'm not even that positive. Mm-hmm. But I know that it begins with Bette Midler just being like her best Annie self on a beach, like maybe she's a strong man or something, and then you see her grown up singing.
It's Does not it begin? Okay. I know that it's
Wait,
not.
Barbara Hershey is a mermaid, and Bette Midler falls off a boat. And
I
want to
hear
kiss.
The word dune buggy in here somewhere.
I think what happens, and then a grown up Bette Midler is practicing singing on the Hollywood Bowl stage to an empty stage, an empty theater, amphitheater.
She's rehearsing. Yes.
She's weird. It's like, yeah, it's sound check or whatever. But she does, she's all full out, if I remember correctly.
And then she takes a bite of that Mystic Pizza crossover movie. Mystic Pizza on the beaches, wearing your sandals, having it all.
True. Having it all. All inclusive fun.
I'm not going to tell you the plot of Beaches because I guarantee everybody listening has seen it.
Oh, by the way, Beaches 4 stars. Mary Kay cried so hard, she doesn't even care that she messed up. Oh, she doesn't even care that the middle drags a bit. Spoiler alert. There's like this whole thing where she has to get through cancer. Guessing. Anyway, Working Girl. Working Girl, less cancer. Working Girl, I did just see recently, Melanie Griffith is in it. What is so funny about me now?
No, I just imagined the full title was Working Girl, : less cancer was like the straight to video follow-up.
Well, there was someone definitely working box office when people were like, I don't know, what should I see? And they're like, well, Working Girl has less cancer in it. And they're like, 2 for Working Girl. This was fun.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie. I don't want to ruin any of it. Everyone's in it. Doing a good job.
Yeah. It is funny that they were like, Sigourney Weaver sucked. She was nominated for an Oscar for it like this year. She didn't win. But
Vicky gave this movie 3 stars and says that Harrison Ford doesn't look as good here as he does as Indiana Jones. This is not a real review is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Vicky was like, oh, I loved the girl in it who's like Lloyd Dobler's sister, and she could have been in it more. And then it wasn't really like 9 to 5. And then like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Porn stars.
It's a very mom review.
It is, yes.
Like, in terms of tracking, like, who she's talking about. Here's an example. Sorry, but just a mom.
Yes,
this is just a sidebar. I got my hair cut today, and my stylist was telling me a story of a time that, because I brought up Gleaming the Cube and Tony Hawk, because I said that was a movie that we had seen recently, and she was like, remembered a conversation she had with her mother where her mother didn't know who Stephen Hawking was. Mm-hmm. And then as they were talking it through, she was like, oh, no, I know who he is. He's that surfer. And then Michelle went, no, you're thinking of Tony Hawk, the skateboarder. Stephen Hawking does not surf.
And the, wow, I was just saying, wipeout.
It's a very good example of getting inside the mind of a mom and tracking, like, putting together the yarn lines of, like, who you're trying to talk about. That's all.
Dave, we could go back in time. My comedy troupe would like to do Stephen Hawking plays the surfboard video game.
Wipe out.
We would not get to do the sketch for long, but we would enjoy it. A Nightmare on Elm Street 4 is reviewed by Christina. It's this month's bomb, and she just flat out hadn't seen the first three, thought she'd wander in. She asked the box office ticket taker, which one should I see? You know, do I need to have seen the first three? And the ticket taker said, you know what? No. And that's true. But
yeah,
But who would review the fourth one, which is what she's upset about, is the whole point of the fourth one. Just ridiculous jokes and stupid deaths. And Kruger, like, fully Krugering out. She's so upset about, how's that for a wet dream when someone drowns in a waterbed? It's fucking great. It's a great Freddy. I mean, I don't remember this film at all.
No, I'm sure I saw it.
No, because it wasn't one of the iconic ones. It wasn't one of the more important ones. It didn't have Patricia Arquette in it, I don't think.
Right.
I don't remember, but I do remember How's That for a Wet Dream and Wanna Suck Face. I remember him saying these things.
Yeah. But so. Christina was not, quote, amused by this piece of doodums. Oh, okay.
Doodums. Speaking of moms doing reviews,
it's
a piece of doodums.
Did not care for that. But yeah, there's no indication in this, like, I normally like horror films, but this one didn't do it for me. Like, this is often the missing piece in these reviews where it's like, I hate dance music, so definitely give me this Madonna remix album.
Yeah, she closes with, when movies like this are successful, I really wonder about our society.
Gorgeous.
Wipe out.
So fast.
This month's hit is Living Colors Vivid. That's color spelled like Dave and Tara like it, with a O-U. It's 5 stars, and Andrea's right. This is a great record, like, personally for me. One, like, a record that stands out of, like, oh, now I listen to different music. This is the music that I'm like, drawn to. I don't have to just like what the radio tells me to like or what my friends are listening to. This, I'm going to pursue this tape, and I was still in Jackson, Mississippi at the time because it was not an easy find at the mall. I remember that. And my cousin had told me about it. And then I saw it here, and that's how I knew my cousin's definitively cool.
Yep. This is a good album. I had this one too.
In my mind, I had this band confused with Faith No More, and I had no idea. Now, is Living Color the resort place or?
Well, it's in Living Color. Is this the one with the comedy?
You want it all, but you can't have in Living Color.
Right. That is Faith No More, for sure.
I don't think they sound the same for some reason. Oh, just the name of it, I was confusing. I was conflating the two names of, like, just like, meh. So that's on me. That's on me, guys. It's on me.
Wipe out.
I knew it. This is not...
No
one marked this one.
It's horrible.
Does
anybody like Crosby?
Hear it.
Oh gosh. No. I hate Crosby.
Stills, I remember this song.
Nash and Young and Neil, like, all 9 people that have been in this band that keep changing the name of the fucking band.
It's worse than Yes.
Blue Eyes. It's worse than Gas. Is that what you said?
Yes. Y-E-S. They're always changing their lineup. Yes. Very famous for never having the same lineup for more than a month. Yes.
I thought you had updated Worse Than Jazz to Worse Than Yaz. And I was like, Yaz.
Oh, Yaz is a different band.
Yes.
Okay, so we weren't going to cover this because nobody wanted to, but then I heard that music and Tara got mad, so now I had to listen to that. I don't remember the song at all, but I know that the album is called American Dream, and hearing that music, I could just assume, and I'm just going to assume I'm correct, that there's a video for this song that involves Revolutionary War uniformed people playing flutes and shit like that.
Yes. That's also on the cover of the album. And that song that we heard a snippet of is from the title track.
It's all 5-5.
American Dream. I remember this song. Yeah, it sucks shit. It's very bad.
As a flautist, do you get upset when you hear people rocking out with flutes like Jethro Tull and things like that? Does it upset you?
No, but that also wasn't a flute. That was a fife.
Oh, shit!
Our first Pam editor note.
It!
Bam!
Ah! That felt that,
that
did
mistake know. Has been recorded.
I will go back to my desk now.
It's similar to a flute. You do hold it the same way, but it's wooden. That's why it sounds like a recorder. That was Vertigo by Matthew Sweet from his album Earth, which gets a strong 4-star review in this issue from Christina. I love Matthew Sweet so much, but I never knew he had any albums before Girlfriend. I think that was the one that most people know because it had the song about Winona Ryder. Will you be my little movie star? Will you be my long-lost girlfriend? And I probably did not follow up on this review and try to find this album because the similar acts that she cites, which are Todd Rundgren and Marshall Crenshaw, meant nothing to me then, barely mean more to me now. But
once a year, when I see the name Todd Rundgren,
yeah,
zero idea who he is, what he's done. Every yeah. time I'm like, was that a senator from the South in the 20s? Like, what is going on with Todd Rundgren? I feel like once in a while, I'm like, I think he's in music, but that's it.
Yeah.
I always think it's fashion. I always think, who's wearing the latest Todd Rundgren?
Because you're thinking of Todd Oldham. Mm. For me, I always mix up Todd Rundgren and Warren Zevon as if they were one person, even though I know one of them died because Letterman was still on at the time and made a big deal about it.
Todd Rundgren sounds like somebody's trying to expand Lord of the Rings with their own fanfic, and they decided that the hero of their story will be named Todd Rundgren.
Or they have to call it Todd Rundgren's Lord of the Rings.
Yes, that's right.
Well, take. Yeah. Dave, I hate to tell you, you were recently exposed to the music of Todd Rundgren because he wrote...
Do I need to take a test?
No.
At home Rundgren test?
Socially distanced.
Do we got Todd 19?
Hello, It's Me, which was pivotal in the first couple of episodes of the Sex and the City revival show. Mm-hmm. Hello, It's Me. That's him.
See, my Todd blindness continues. I don't remember that at all.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question, though. Matthew Sweet is a musician.
Yeah.
Honest question. Mm-hmm. Who is the guy from Downton Abbey that is good at car?
Matthew Good.
See, do you understand why I confuse them all the time?
Yes.
Sweet, Good,
yep.
Both Matthews. They could be the same person.
Yes. Matthew Sweet has a lot of hits that came after this, but I'm really excited to find out from revisiting this issue that there's a whole album that I never knew about and I'm going to acquire. So thank you, Old Sassy, and thank you, Christina. And thank you, Matthew Sweet, for being great.
Wow, that is not what I thought Rat sounded like. That sounded like, that sounded like the band that does oh my God, I can't remember. Shit.
LA Deli?
This is my favorite new thing that we're going to do every month.
Okay. It's the song. I think it's a song about a shotgun wedding or something like that. And it's like the Georgia Lights or something like that.
Got a ring of ding a ling
and I'm going to sing. And here comes the ice rink skating.
Yes.
What?
Yes. He's talking about...
I got a ring in my pocket.
I know
it's
what
going
he's singing. Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Yeah, there we go.
I got my own mounds and keep your hands in your sink.
Peaches for everybody.
Sure.
This is what you thought Rat was?
No, that's what I feel like that sounded like the other band I was talking about.
No, that's Georgia Satellites.
Rat is a Cinderella band, right? Did they have a song or an album called Cinderella?
Cinderella is a band.
Different band.
But they look a lot like Rat. Rat had this song.
Round and round.
Yeah, okay.
What
yeah,
goes wrong? Yeah.
And which is exactly what you can sing over what you did play.
Mm-hmm.
Dollars to Donuts, Rat and Cinderella toured together for 8 years.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I'm sure they're doing like retro nostalgia shows at state fairs every year for sure.
Aren't there mice in the Cinderella story?
Yes.
Okay, see, that's
well, in the Disney version.
Yeah.
The only true version, yes, Pam, we know.
No, I was just about to say, we're just tripping around Dave's synapses and neural pathways, and I fucking love it.
I got a synapse in my brain, it's going ring-a-ling-a-ling, mystic pizza.
Particularly
feed
funny.
Your brain with some mystic pizza, ham and pepperoni is a Pam Hawaiian special.
This is getting, this has been a week where Dave has thought he's done a bunch of different things that then when we went to follow up, he just did not do them. So knowing this is just like the first, I shouldn't say that. This is the 500th day of Dave's mental decline, but the only difference is you're hearing it on mic now.
Dave, I'm adding three songs called Mystic Pizza to the end of this month's
I got a pizza in
playlist.
My pockets going ring.
And I feel like even though you challenged me to Stonehenge one of the playlists and I never heard back from you, I super Stonehenged. So this is how I know.
Dave doesn't know how to use Spotify.
You just can click it on your browser.
Anyway, let's wait.
I fucking hate that song so much.
I like that song. It's
come
good.
On. God.
It's
what's it done to you?
It's trying very hard.
Well, that's what 80s music was like.
Yeah.
Also, I hate the name Human League.
Oh.
Blech.
Just the two words together.
It's just really pretentious.
Wow.
Unless it's like some sort of like intergalactic gladiator games for the fate of the earth, sort of like Mortal Kombat or like whatever that Marvel version is where they all get transported to a world they have to fight. If it's that sort of thing and these are the members that are representing Earth as the Human League, fine. But I'm pretty sure that's
you've just
what's
ruined
happening
it
here.
You've just ruined Human League, because now I will always picture them in suits. He was working, she was working as a waitress in a cocktail bar before they came and found her and Nick Furied her into the Human League.
They Nick Furied her,
Oh, tell God my wife it. Hello.
Well, anyways.
That was a joke just a bit.
Sassy agrees, gives Human League's greatest hits 1 star. The greatest hits, bomb. That's just.
Okay, but name another hit.
Exactly. That seems to be mostly Karen's point, where it's like hits, plural. Like, I only know one of their songs, and so does everyone else. So I think this is fair.
It's only Human People?
No.
Oh, who is that?
Now I gotta
look. That's Human something, right?
No.
Oh, wait, that's the song. No. That's Human in the title. I'm stupid.
Okay.
I just figured Human League had the rights to any song with the word human in the title, so I was confused.
Well, wait, you might be right. Hold on.
Only human, born to make Mr.
Oh,
Best
no, it is the Human League.
Yeah, it is Human League. Dave. It is Human League.
Dave, I apologize.
No, you're right.
I apologize. And then they had 2 hits.
They have 3 hits because...
Are you ready for Dave to be correct?
Keep feeling fascination.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Sure.
I couldn't remember fascination. And we all knew human as soon as you said it. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I take back what I said. Karen's being a bitch.
Well, all right. This month, I did make you a playlist. Listen to Sassy March 89 is available in the show notes. There's everything in here from songs about skinheads to the Peter Gunn theme to the Glamour Boys, other Living Color songs, and some inside jokes for listeners. So also, Hey Jack Kerouac by the 10,000 Maniacs.
Yeah, you got it.
Other songs by Human League and Edie Brickell. So don't forget to check it out. It's fun. It's fun, she says. I made you a mixtape. It's fun. Jesus Christ. Tim Ransom is our one to watch this month. Tim Ransom. I am being held Tim Ransom here.
By his gaze in this photo.
I am being held by his gaze is how it feels to be me at the moment. Tim Ransom,
can we talk about the gaze, though? Kind of looks like he's, you know when you burp and it's like, oh, that was a little bit more than a burp?
Yeah.
It's exactly, he
kind of
caught him in that moment. Oh, yeah. Wait, oh, phew.
Mm-hmm. He calls himself, essentially, the poor man's Matt Dillon. Like, he's really like, I get parts that Matt Dillon didn't want.
Yeah.
So proudly. But to me, in this picture, he is pure Crispin Glover.
Yeah, he does. He doesn't look so much. It's just this photo. When you we have other photos because I looked him up after he was mentioned in the Mary Stuart Masterson profile, as that he looks like Lee Turgeson to me from Oz. Now, I looked up a review of The Wide Net. I mean, I looked it up to see if you could stream it anywhere. As far as I can tell, you can't, because they mention it in this. This is a 1987 PBS movie. It was an American Playhouse production. And in the review in the New York Times, in which Kira Sedgwick's name is misspelled, they threw an extra E in her surname, which is not there. Joseph Summer as Doc and Tim Ransom as Virgil are fine. What a rave. I mean,
it's fine.
What's up next for Tim Ransom? Next, to provide more fulfilling roles for himself and other actors, Tim helped start a New York City theater group called Naked Angels to combat the scourge of the Human League.
He was working as a bellboy and desperately seeking Susan.
It still exists, this theater company. You can find it online.
I'm not sure if I need to say it or not, but another fail for one to watch.
Yes, I think we all can agree. Our first feature in the March 1989 issue, Pop Culture Wise, is Eric Stoltz is Very Scary by Christina. And the hilarious thing is that, I mean, you would think Eric Stoltz is very scary because he's in The Fly 2. The photo is clearly a press shot from the movie. But they just mention it in passing. They don't talk about The Fly 2 at all. And
oh, wait. That's what it
seems. That seems appropriate because I did try to see if it was streaming anywhere, and it is absolutely not. So
it's so bad.
Do I want to try to find the DVD of this so that we can watch it at home? I doubt it.
As they sit down, it opens with Eric Stoltz saying,
I even knew you were going to do it and I forgot.
No, please don't stop. Okay. He sits down and says, I hope your readers aren't offended by male nudity. And then she says, no, I don't think they are. And he says, good, because I'm nude in both Haunted Summer and Manifesto. And that should have just been the end. Like, she should have then got up and said, well, that's Eric Stoltz.
Also, nude. Like, that's the nude word you choose. I don't know.
I'm
something
nude
about it.
It's like arty.
So off-putting.
The whole article, he is trying to be a dick. And even in the end, he admits, like, you're just trying to write about whether or not I'm a dick, right? Like, you want to know me. But then, and even when she says he hates being interviewed, thinks writers are stealing his soul or some such thing, I want to know, did she make that up? That's how I'd open when I sat down. He was like, do you guys, I'm nude in this. And I'd be like, what's up with you thinking I'm going to steal your soul? That'd be my opening. You find these things stupid? Let's talk about how you think I'm a camera.
I think it's more that she has experience by this point interviewing people that she knows do not want to be interviewed and are fucking with her, which he clearly also is.
Yeah.
So I think she's extrapolating, like, his reasons for being like this are that he thinks interviewers are trying to steal a soul. Not literally. Yeah. He does not come across well.
I mean, this is really what Christina's very good at doing.
She is. Absolutely.
Writing an article where it's like, you're never going to fucking believe what I just went through.
Yes. And at the end of it, you're like, oh, actually, fuck this guy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She's like, ladies, sit down. Remember how you thought this would be amazing? It sucked. He chugged mineral water and then says the line, you guys, Eric Stoltz says to her, and I quote, after he says, I don't have a stereo, which we'll just put that over to the side. Mm-hmm. I play music more than listen to it.
Fuck you!
Oh my God. I play music more than I listen to it is just like when you're trying to find a character description that really boils them down.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
You say, Eric Stoltz, 20s, says he plays music more than he listens to it.
You're
like, yeah, oh, yeah.
Got it.
What an asshole.
100%, yes.
And I never really, even in this article, I'm like, I just think it's Eric Stoltz. I don't know what it is about it. I'm like, I don't want to go all the way to asshole. I think this is just, he's an alien man. Mm.
This seems like very 27-year-old behavior. I bet he has calmed down since then.
this was how to be a young, famous, cool person mm-hmm. at this time. And yes. if Robert Downey Jr. was saying these exact same things, everybody would call it adorable. If Robert Downey Jr. said, I don't have a stereo, I play music more than listen to it, they'd be like, that's hilarious. I bet he has 16 albums at home he can't wait to play for me. But with Eric Stoltz, you're like, right, of course. Yeah. Don't mean to keep scaring you, Dave. But he is in a movie called Haunted Summer. And it's not about any kind of hauntings.
Sandals?
Nothing is specific here. Even yeah. what he's concerned about man's misuse of the environment. He mm-hmm. likes to read Shakespeare, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and D.H. Lawrence. See movies like Bambi.
Yeah. Read on the road while wearing his Misfits t-shirt. Absolutely. 100%. Yeah.
Not even that, where it's like, well, what is that book? And you're like, I haven't opened it yet, but it's about filmmaking.
It's in Albanian. I'm still trying to, I'm learning the language yeah. so I can read the book.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. He's not scary. He's trying to be intense.
Yes.
And that's because he has scary eyes.
He does have two light eyes. That is true. He has Siberian husky eyes.
He has husky eyes. And he appears to have a husky's stubbornness and the way that a husky will just walk in and go. Doesn't it look like he's going to do that?
Strap 12 Eric Stoltzes to his sled.
Yeah. Woo! You're winning something. Yes. Yeah. What is it, Eric Stoltz? You want to listen to opera again? No, we listened to opera yesterday. Other celebrity feature this month is Christina Applegate, page 74 in your hymnals, written by, for no fucking reason at all, Neil. And I guess I guess Neil did some favors or begged, like it has to have been someone lost a bet. There's no reason to harm Christina Applegate with this interview that Neil is doing.
It's so shitty.
There are other Christinas at the magazine.
Yeah.
Just when Christina met Christina, how cool would it have been for Christina Kelly and Christina Applegate to have a conversation about Kelly Bundy? Like, that would have been, we'd still be talking about it. I am still talking about it.
Yeah. The problem with this, other than that Neil is terrible, is that it's like, it's just, it feels like another front in the, like, make girls care about Neil campaign. See also the shirt, which they're still advertising in the back of the magazine, where it's like, stop trying to make Neil happen. Like, let him do his bad job laying out the story so that the photo and the headline are on the wrong side.
I figured out a way, speaking about Neil and the shirt, which I was conjecturing would go lower and lower in price. Although then I was thinking, well, would they actually do that? Because then that's sort of an admission of failure.
Yes.
So here's what I think is going to happen in the future. I don't know. I don't read ahead.
Right.
You're going to get a free Neil shirt with every X amount of dollars you spend in the Sassy Club. That's how they're going to get around it and still get rid of the inventory.
Yeah.
In this article, Neil thinks he's just going to go be like a super cool LA dude, hanging out, having lunch, and like doing things on the beach. And instead, he meets a very smart, nice, down-to-earth person who has a lovely conversation with him. Mm-hmm. And he's not prepared.
Why is a national magazine the forum in which this guy gets to figure out how to do an interview by trial by fire?
Yeah.
Like, why is that happening? Like, literally, the questions are, do you like acting?
Yeah.
How do you act? What are your
how
friends
are
like?
You?
Do you like milk? Like, these are the questions. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, even if just like a modicum of experience, you know, like at least you want to shoot for, let me ask one or two questions that nobody else is going to ask.
Yeah.
Just so I can keep this person somewhat engaged and not on autopilot.
Oh, my God.
And he just, it doesn't happen here. And it's really, really, like, this should have been scrapped. Like, it should have been scrapped, and they should have phoned her up and said, I'm really sorry, but can we redo this interview?
Yes. Can you do a phoner with someone who knows what they're fucking doing? Yeah. Like, but the editing also sells him out. Like, how are you does not need to be part of the printed record. No, like you can cut that. Like, of course you say how are you at the beginning of an interview, obviously, like, unless you're a real weirdo, we don't need to hear that the answer was, I'm fine.
They should also have included those awkward, like, people not quite not sure how many times they're supposed to say goodbye or have a good day or whatever at the end. All right, bye. Okay, thanks. Thanks. Yeah, okay, have a good day. Bye. All right. See ya.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the third paragraph. This is the last paragraph of the intro before we actually get into the Q&A. Christina Applegate is like, I don't know. What? But then it turns out the entire paragraph is shit. She's friendly and she's smart and she has all the same insecurities and problems that most of us have. She's 17 and she lives in LA with her mom. Her parents are divorced. She drives a Honda Accord and loves Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin and the movie Woodstock. And she appreciates a beautiful day and all her friends. Christina is the kind of person that you would be happy and proud and lucky to have as a friend because she's as interested in you as you are in her. I can see it in her wonderful big green eyes. She's not going to fuck you when we talk. I like her. And she's got these really cool cowboy boots that are all worn out. Cut all of this. This says nothing.
That sounds like a five-year-old just saying things.
Yes.
Say it quicker without so many commas and periods. And then you've got a five-year-old saying the same thing.
It does sound like you had to do a report on Christina Applegate. You went up to the front of the class and you're like, Christina Applegate is like, I don't know.
Yeah.
She's finally answering
the letter.
Totally. Like you had to write it in a yearbook.
Yes. If I might just, like, you know, give you a peek behind the curtain of interviewing actors, brag. Dave is right. You do have to try to, like, come up with questions that you think no one has ever asked them before. And part of that is reading every interview you can find. And we talked about this with regard to the go-betweens. It was harder then than it is now. I get it. But you also, when you're doing the little intro for your Q&A, like, this is where you usually put in a tidbit that didn't make it into the Q&A of, like, another quote that is not part of the rest of the article. But it's clear from his intro that he used every single part of what he of the exchange he had with her because he had nothing to say because he was not prepared.
Christina Applegate is like, I don't know, she's friendly and smart and she has all the same insecurities and problems that most of us have. She's 17, lives in L.A., with her mom. She drives a Honda Accord and loves Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin and the movie Woodstock. She appreciates beautiful days and all her friends. Christina's the kind of person you would be happy and proud and lucky to be her friend. I can see it in her wonderful big green eyes. And she's got these really cool cowboy boots. Thank you.
Yeah. Here's something that he said to her. Whenever I mention Christina Applegate to people, he says to Christina Applegate, I usually get comments like bimbo and, oh, yeah, blonde, beautiful, and Bundy. Do people take you seriously or do they associate you with Kelly Bundy? She never spoke again. Like, I never want to speak again. Like, why would you say that to her? Why would you say any of that to her?
There's a way to ask this question that is not insulting.
Exactly.
And he did not think about that and he did not come up with the way to do it because he had no business doing any of this.
No, and to Christina's credit, she stays sweet and chill and cool about it all, and even self-deprecating in a very kind way, and is patient. Like, you can hear her patience.
Well, here's the thing that both of these features have in common this month. In both cases, a woman is doing a lot of work to cover up a man's shittiness. It's the same thing with Christina and Eric Stoltz, where finally she's like... I mean, she's not so much covering it up, but you know what I mean? Like when he's asks her to tell him about herself and she does, neither of them should need to do this. And Christina Applegate could never get away with doing the same, coming into the interview with the same attitude that Eric Stoltz has because she's a woman and he's a man and we live in patriarchy.
Sorry, Pam.
Such a tiny
Pam, story. You worked with her once upon a time. You guys still hang out?
Yeah.
We don't hang out. I did work with her once upon a time. She is, I will shiv someone for her. She's very nice. I worked on a show called Samantha Who, and she was the lead, and she's really sweet. And then she went on to be on my friend Liz Feldman's show, Dead to Me.
Yep.
So if you haven't seen either of those, you can watch a Samantha Who that I wrote. It's got, when you watch it now, you're like, look at that. Because it's Jean Smart and it's Melissa McCarthy and it's Christina Applegate and it's Kevin Dunn. And you're just like, holy cow. What a time.
Yeah.
I was just too much of a real green person to,
I was just very much like, what is this world? Like, yeah. Samantha who, but she recently turned 50. And when she turned 50, she announced, if that's the word, on Instagram that she's been diagnosed with MS. And if you have not watched Introducing Selma Blair on Amazon Prime, it's a really moving, wonderful film. And I have no conclusion on that. Can someone help me?
She deserved better than Neil. Fuck Neil. Christina Applegate, we wish you the best forever.
Christina, if you're listening, she's not. You're great. You are.
Next time, we'll be talking about the fashion, etc., of the March 1989 issue. Get some inspiration for your prom. Take care of your eyes. Find out how everyone on the masthead is feeling about making it through the magazine's first year, and more. Speaking of celebrity profiles, it's a tiny bit old now, but I interviewed Christina Ricci about the first season of Yellowjackets, the show that every Gen X woman is obsessed with. You can read it at GQ.com. We will link it in the show notes.
So many Christinas in this episode.
Yeah.
For my plug, I'm just going to say again, go watch The Lost Daughter. It's on Netflix. Do it for Working Girl. It is nothing like you're going to expect it's going to be. And there will be a moment when you're watching it and you'll be like, I can't believe Pam could put up with this film and then also loves it.
Don't forget about the Listen to Sassy Club. If you're not a member, you can join for $5 a month. The Mystic Pizza. Have a big slice of the Mystic Pizza. Watch along is coming very shortly. Never mind, you get access to the drunk episode and all those perks we talked about at the top of the show. ListenToSassy.com/club. Here's where you can find us on social, at David T. Cole, at Tara Ariano, at Pamela Rubin, and at Listen to Sassy.
You can also call us. Our hotline is 720-SASSY-GO. Leave us a voicemail about the show or the magazine or your finest fucking
Wipeout.
Whether you say catty corner or kitty corner or yeah. Cater corner.
Are you a cater corner? You can call us Cater Corner at 720-SASSY-GO and leave us a voicemail about what you've been leaving in your kitty corners. And then Kendall here is going to play it on a future episode. You can also find more information about the podcast, visual aids for all our episodes, Eric Stoltz, and our contact info for us at our website, listentosassy.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Working Girl.